Greetings. This is Stefko Sarasvic. The lecture is Search Strategy and Tactics as Governed by Effectiveness and Feedback. The central ideas for this lecture are that as a searcher, you are striving toward doing effective searches. Well, searches are all about being effective. All about finding what is needed, what is desired, what is relevant. To measure effectiveness, common measure of precision and recall are used. I'm introducing in this lecture these important concepts and measures of precision and recall. Now, what happens is that various tactics are used to affect effectiveness, to affect precision and recall. And the application of these tactics for a given desired results is a second nature of professional searches. It becomes a searcher DNA. Knowing searching is also knowing tactics to reach toward desired effectiveness. Okay? The table of contents. In this lecture, we have 44 slides. Seven of them deal with title pages, so we have, in fact, 37 slides. 12 of these are related to major concepts, 6 to measuring effectiveness, 9 to search tactics, and 4 to feedback types. So let's go now with some major concepts, and we will define what we mean by effectiveness and relevance here. And for those of you who are watching this on the screen, take a look at this picture by Escher, and can it be actually done? Analyze it. Let's start with some definitions. We already introduced some before, but it's worth repeating because we'll come back to them in the lecture. It's the search statement, the query that goes into the computer. It is a set of search terms with logical connectors and attributes. It is file and system dependent. The search strategy is the big picture, is the overall approach to searching of a question. In the strategy, you worry about selection of systems, files, search statement, tactics, the sequence, the output formats, the cost, the time, the aspects, and so forth. The search tactics are your actually action choices. We are talking about the choices and variations in search statements, terms, connector, attributes. In life, we very often encounter that. The search strategy is, for instance, deciding to go or not to go on vacation. And the search tactics is, if we go on vacation, shall we take the car, the train, the plane, or walk? Okay? Here are two more definitions that are operational and sometimes, but not that often used, but you should be aware of it. We define a move as a modification of search strategies or tactics that are aimed at improving the results. For instance, from searching for digital and libraries to digital with libraries, or in Scopus, digital parentheses libraries. A cycle. And this is particularly applicable to systems such as Dialog. It is a set of commands from the start to the time when you look or type the results, or from viewing to viewing commands. So a cycle would be when you enter the commands one after the other and then look at what you retrieve. In this slide, we're going to be talking about the search strategy as a big picture, and the next about search tactics. The search strategy involves all kinds of actions from start to end. It's the entire approach to search. It's the approach where you select files and sources to use. It's an approach in tactics in proceeding to search and combining search terms, operators to use, fields to search. It's an approach also where you decide about formats, and it's also an approach where you decide what are your alternative actions if search yields too much or too little. In other words, search strategy involves a lot of problem-solving heuristics. Search tactics is specific actions. It's connected with given search as it progresses. What do you do next when you actually search? A query is a command line entered into a system in order to retrieve relevant information. So your tactics will be concerned with terms, with operators and attributes as it's allowed by a given system, as it's allowed by Dialog, Scopus, Google, or whoever. It'll be concerned with the vocabulary that you use, the syntax that they use, in conjunction with the connectors, or when you use the limiters to search a system. Again, it depends on the system how it's done. For example, a search statement may be in Dialog, you'll look for begin 47, file 47, and select says garbanzo or chickpeas, and ?us or humus. In Scopus, the search tactic may be garbanzo with ? Or chickpeas and humus or humus. The question is, how would you search for garbanzo or chickpeas and humus in Google? So each of them will kind of these taxes will be dependent on what the system allows you to do. Okay? Here we are introducing two important, very general terms. The terms are effectiveness and efficiency. The search performance is expressed in terms of effectiveness and in terms of efficiency. What do we mean by effectiveness? Well, effectiveness generally refers how does a system, an algorithm or part of the system, perform in relation to objectives. In relation to a search, the effectiveness is to what degree did the search accomplish what is desired. Or, more specifically, if the effectiveness criteria is relevance, then how well did the search do in terms of relevance? Efficiency relates to cost. Performance at what cost? The cost doesn't have to be expressed just in dollars, but it could be also in efforts and time. How much effort did it take you to achieve a given level of effectiveness? Well, both of these, effectiveness and efficiency, are key concepts and the criteria for selection of strategy, tactics, and evaluation. In this lecture, we will concentrate on effectiveness only and not on efficiency, although efficiency, as you can well imagine, involving cost and time, is also extremely important. Let us now talk about some of the effectiveness criteria. Well, search tactics are chosen and they're changed following some criteria of accomplishment. And here are several criteria. You may have none. It's hard to imagine that somebody has no criteria for accomplishment, but it happens. No thought is given. Search is done just to do searching. In terms of relevance, and it's used most often. And the question that is asked, is it relevant to a need, to a task, to a problem? Sometimes effectiveness is terms of a magnitude. Is it too much retrieved to start with? Too little? Quite often, especially in web searching, the effectiveness criteria is output attributes. Is it trustworthy? Who are the authorities? Is it understandable? Or could be accomplished effectiveness judged in terms of a topic? Is it a topic of the questions? So, the key point here is that tactics are chosen or altered interactively to match given criteria. And feedback plays a very important role, and we'll discuss the feedback toward the end of this lecture. So, knowing what choices of tactics may produce what result is key to professional searches. Let me repeat that, because that is your search DNA. Knowing what choices you make in tactics and what results will be produced by those choices is key to you as professional searcher. Relevance is a key concept in information retrieval and it's a key criterion for assessing effectiveness. So here are some definitions from Merriam-Webster. Relevant, having significant and demonstrable bearing on the matter at hand. Relevance, the ability as of an information retrieval system to retrieve material that satisfied the need of the user. I like that Merriam-Webster included information retrieval system in its definition of relevance. Well, in general, in information retrieval and in searching, we consider relevance as an attribute or a criterion that reflects effectiveness of exchange of information between people, users, you, and information retrieval systems that are in communication contact. And this is a very important and is based on valuation by people. Well, relevance may come under various names. So it could be expressed in terms as utility, pertinence, appropriate, significant, useful, germane, applicable, valuable. Doesn't matter. The concept still remains relevant. Thanks to Shakespeare and Gertrude Stein, I'm going to read this. That which we call relevance by any other word would still be relevance. Relevance is relevance is relevance is relevance. Here are now some attributes of relevance. In information retrieval, relevance is user-dependent. Users are the final judges at the end. In information retrieval, relevance systems, and we'll get to that a little bit later, may aim at producing relevant answers, but users are the judges. But when users judge relevance, it is multidimensional or faceted. Users assess relevance on a number of factors, not only on topic, but also on authority, novelty, source, and so forth. Relevance is dynamic. As the search progresses, users may change relevance assessment, and they may even change criteria. Or as they learn of the problem, as they learn, the problem may be modified, and thus there is the dynamic nature of relevance. Well, often it's talked about relevant, not relevant, but relevant is not binary. It's not only relevant or not relevant. More often, it's on a continuum. It's on a scale. We can talk about relevant, partially relevant, not relevant, and so forth. Well, one of the great attributes of relevance, it is well intuitively understood all over the globe. Nobody has to explain to users what is relevance. If somebody says uncertainty, uncertainty has to be explained. But relevance, you can go from here to Japan, everybody will understand the same way. Well, there are individual differences in relevance, and relevance is not necessarily consistent. Consistency of assessment varies over time and between people, and sometimes to a significant degree. But then, consistency or inconsistency is similar in relevance as in all other processes, in indexing, classifying, in X-ray interpretation by physicians, and so forth. Now, here are one of the aspects of relevance. Subject expertise affects consistency of relevance judgments. A number of experiments have shown that. So, higher expertise results in higher consistency and in stringency. They require stuff to be really on the topic. Lower expertise results in lower consistency and everything becomes relevant. In other words, relevance is not fixed. Individual differences may be large. So, this also points out to the following aspect. It is most helpful to discuss with the user what kind of a documents they may assess as relevant. What are their criteria, and then try to incorporate that in searching and own assessment. It is most useful that you talk to the user and ask him what kind of stuff would you consider as being most relevant. What is your criteria? for assessing this stuff. And then when you search, try to search for the stuff that the user considers as relevant. There are two major types of relevance. And these two major types lead to dichotomy of systems and users' views of relevance. You're talking about systems or algorithmic relevance, and we are talking about user relevance. The system or algorithmic relevance is the way a system, or an algorithm used by a system, assesses relevance. Its relation between a query, on the one hand, and the objects in the file of a system as retrieved, or failed to be retrieved, by a given algorithm. The user relevance is the way a user, or user surrogate, search a specialist, you, assess relevance. It is a relation between information need or problem at hand of a user on the one hand, and the objects retrieved or out there in general. But topical relevance can be considered by both systems and users. And by topical relevance, we mean the degree to which topics are subjects of a query, on the one hand, and topics or subjects of objects in a file or retrieve match. It is the relation between topic in the query on the one hand and topic covered by the retrieve objects or objects in the file of the system or even in existence. Well, we can distinguish various kinds of relevance as to the user too. So here I'm mentioning three kinds of user relevance. One is cognitive relevance or pertinence. The second one is motivational relevance, motivational or affective relevance. And the third one is situational relevance or utility. Okay, let's go to the first one. The cognitive relevance refers to possible changes in user's cognitive state due to the objects retrieved. Something in your mind changes, you learn something, on the basis of the documents that you have retrieved, read, and presumably read and understood. It is a relation between the state of knowledge and cognitive information need of a user on the one hand, and the objects provided or in the file of the system on the other hand. In other words, cognitive relevance is related to the changes in our mind, in our cognition, in our cognitive state. Then we talk about motivational or affective relevance. Well, this is not only that it may change your cognitive state, but it also matches and satisfies users' intentions, purposes, rationales, emotions. Emotions do play a role in relevance assessment, so affective relevance is the important part. So motivational or affective relevance deals with the relation between intents, goals, and motivation of a user on the one hand, and objects retrieved by a system or in the file or even in existence on the other hand. It is satisfaction. Then we have situational relevance or utility, which refers to the value of given objects or information that is provided for a user's situation or changes in the situation, in the task that the user performs. It is a relation between the task or problem at hand, on the one hand, and the objects retrieved or in the files, on the other hand. It relates to usefulness and decision-making in the reduction of uncertainty. Okay, we have now finished with the first part where we introduce some of these basic concepts, concept as effectiveness and efficiency, and in terms of user relevance. And now we're going to go on the second part and how to measure effectiveness. And we'll introduce another two very important ideas or concept, and this is the measures of precision and recall. And those of you who are watching this on screen, please examine this picture in great, great detail. It has nothing to do with the lecture, but it's a great picture. Maybe it has. Maybe that's how relevance and recall are related. Okay. How do we establish relevance in relation to information retrieval searching? The basic way by which effectiveness is established, not relevance, effectiveness, sorry. The basic way by which effectiveness is established in information retrieval searching is to compare two things. On one hand, the user assessment of relevance, and the other hand, the system assessment of relevance. And in those two, is the user assessment is the gold standard. Two measures are introduced to measure the effectiveness. And these two measures have been introduced sometimes in the mid-50s, and they're still operational to this day. Variations on the theme, but they're still there. The two measures are precision and recall. Precision is of the stuff retrieved and given to the user. How much was relevant? What percentage was relevant of the stuff that was given to the user? More formally, here is a formal definition. Probability, precision, is probability that given that an object is retrieved, it is relevant. Or the ratio of relevant items retrieved to all items retrieved. We'll get to the calculation next. Recall, simply put, of the stuff that is relevant in the file, how much was actually retrieved? What percentage of the stuff that was there, how much did you get? More formally, recall is a probability that given that an object is relevant, it is retrieved. Or it is the ratio of relevant items retrieved to all relevant items in a file. And here is how they are calculated. We have a 2x2 table. The columns have two columns. One column has all the items that are judged relevant, and the other column has all the items that are judged not relevant. The rows, there are two rows. One row is all the items that are retrieved, and the second row is all the items that are not retrieved. So under A, we have, in the cell under A, we have number of items retrieved and judged relevant. Think of it. Number of items retrieved and judged relevant. In the cell B, we have number of items retrieved and judged not relevant. Number of items that are junk. Then for items not retrieved in cell C, we have number of items not retrieved and relevant. In other words, C is missed relevant. And in cell D, we have number of items not retrieved and not relevant, misjudged. So if you want to have high precision, you would like to maximize A and minimize B. In other words, you would like to maximize number of items retrieved and judged relevant, and minimize B, that means number of items that are junk and retrieved. For a higher recall, you would like to maximize A, and that means number of items retrieved and judged irrelevant, and minimize C. That means you would like to minimize the number of items not retrieved and relevant, that is missed relevant. So precision is the ratio between A over A plus B, and recall is the ratio of A over A plus C. The next slide will give you examples of calculation. So let's say we have a system that retrieves 16 documents. You give it to the user, and the user judges 4 of these were assessed at relevance. Then the precision is 25%. 25 of 16 is 4. Conversely, you retrieve 75% junk. Now, if a system has 40 documents in the file that were relevant, but through its algorithm and your searching managed to retrieve only 12 of them, then recall is 30%. In other words, 12 is 30% of 40, or in other words, you missed 70% of those 40 documents as not retrieved. Well, precision is easy to establish. You can do it straight from the output. Recall is not, because you have no idea what you missed. So the experimenters with and practitioners use various tricks to establish not total recall, but to establish relative recall. Total recall is if a user, you, would establish every item in the file and predetermine what was relevant before and then see what search or what algorithms retrieve or that. It's impossible to do. So the trick is to do a union. And it goes something like this. You do a number of searches, or you use a number of tactics, you vary the tactics, or in experiments, in information retrieval, they use various algorithms. Then they take everything together in one big basket. That basket is the union, everything that was retrieved. Then you have that union assessed, not the whole file, but everything that was retrieved. And then you know what's in the basket, what is relevant and what is not. Then you can take each search, each tactic, each algorithm, and calculate relative recall of each search, each tactic, in respect to the union, in respect to the basket, and see which one provides better or worse relative recall. Let's interpret it further, so that we fully understand what we mean by precision recall, because later on, as you will see very shortly, is this becomes a very, very important notion. Well, as I mentioned, precision is the percent of relevant stuff you have in your set of answers retrieved. Or conversely, it is a percent of junk, and often in the past the junk was called false data, sometimes it's called noise, in the set of answers. When you talk about high precision, you mean that most stuff that you retrieve was relevant. When you talk low precision, it means that there was a lot of junk of what you retrieved. Some users demand high precision. They do not want to wade through much stuff. Well, engineer needs an answer as to behavior of some kind of a stuff or mechanism, all what he needs in one or two answers. He doesn't want to have a whole study on that particular element that he or she is interested in. But when you demand high precision, and we'll get to that, it comes at a price. Relevant stuff may be missed. Trade-off is almost there always. You have high precision and low recall. We'll get to trade-off a little bit later, but it's very important to consider, and I'm introducing it right now. Okay, let's go to the interpreting of recall. A file may have a lot of relevant stuff. And recall is the percent of that relevant stuff in the file that you retrieve in your answer set. Conversely, it is the percent of stuff you missed. When you talk high recall, it means you missed little. When you talk low recall, it means you missed a lot. Some users demand high recall. For instance, PhD students doing a dissertation really don't want to miss some important stuff on their research, and then the committee comes, how come you didn't find such and so? Patent lawyers never want to miss anything, and they will be glad to search through mountains of things just to make sure that nobody can challenge their patent. When I write an article, I don't want to miss much. A few years ago, I wrote a long review of relevance research in information science. I incorporated probably something like 160 references. To get to those 160, I and my assistant must have gone through at least 1,000, if not more, articles to winnow down. So, but we made sure that we have high recall. So we made sure that important stuff is not missed. But as I pointed out, in order to get to those 100 and 160, we had to pay a price of wading through a lot of junk. Trade-off is almost always there. High recall means also low precision. Okay, now we are going to get to search tactics, in which we talk about these trade-offs and how are we using this for different tactics. Let me have a sip. And here we'll go to the first slide in this. There is no such thing as perfect search. So the aim of tactics is to search in a way that will ensure a given, chosen, or desired level of effectiveness. If your desired level of effectiveness is high recall, you choose these tactics. If it's high precision, you chose these tactics. If it's someplace in the middle, you chose these tactics. Well, that means that we have to agree on what we mean by effectiveness in searching. Well, general agreement is that retrieval of relevant answer is the major criterion for effectiveness in searching. So we also have to agree what measures do we use to express achievement of effectiveness in terms of relevance. And general agreement is that we use the measures of precision and recall, or any of the derivatives. And I already defined what we mean by precision and recall, and now you know why I went to such long length to define them. Thus, many search tactics are geared toward achieving certain level of precision or recall. Here is a graph of a precision recall trade-off that has been found in many, many studies. On the x-axis, we have, on the vertical axis, we have recall from 0 to 100%. And on the y-axis, on the vertical one, we have precision from 0 to 100. And the graph goes like a parabola, very high on the 100% precision, and then falling off to 100% recall. When we look at the graph, we can see that, yes, we can achieve sometimes higher precision, but we look down and we see that we achieve that at a low recall. Yes, we can achieve sometimes high recall, but we look back we achieve it at a certain cost of low precision. Generally, the algorithms or your tactics are geared toward improvements that you get up a little bit and try to achieve higher precision and higher recall at some point, but you know that you'll never get to this particular point where you might have, never, it's a big word, but most of the time you'll not get to the point where you have 100% recall and 100% precision. So there is a trade-off. Precision recall trade-off. And it's like in life. You get some, you lose some. You can't have your cake and eat it. Usually, but not always. Keep in mind that recall and precision are probability. When you have high precision, most stuff you got is relevant or on the target. But, and this is a very important but, you also missed other stuff, and that could be a lot that is relevant. You missed stuff that was left behind. When you have high recall, you did not miss much. But, and here's another important but, you also got junk, and there could be a lot of that junk. You have to wait through. The price to pay is either way. But then a lot of users are perfectly satisfied and are aiming at high precision. What they're saying is, give me a few good things, that is all what I need. It turns out that, for instance, Google, all Google switching is aimed at high precision. It's not aimed at high recall. It's aimed at high precision to push up front a few answers that are right up on the nose. If you want to have a recall, you have to then wait. High recall, you have to wait to a lot of Google pages. Effectiveness laws, so-called effectiveness laws, are also sometimes called cleverness laws. And originally they were formulated by a guy named Cyril Cleverdon. He was a librarian in the UK in the 1950s and 60s, and he is famous because he did the first information retrieval test, and they were done at what Institute of Technology at Cranfield, or now the University of Cranfield, in Cranfield, UK, a small town, and thus they're called the Cranfield test. Well, here are these Cleverdon laws, and I have laws under quotes because they are not truly laws in a scientific sense. High precision retrieval is usually associated with low recall. In other words, high precision equals low recall. High recall in retrieval is usually associated with low precision. High recall equals low precision. You with your user have to decide if you are aiming toward high recall or high precision. You have to be aware what the trade-offs are. Usually the users are not, and you have to explain these trade-offs to the user. Well, why I'm mentioning this? The key reason why I'm mentioning this in such great detail, because you will use different tactics for high recall from those that you use for high precision. So in the next four slides, we're going to go through these tactics, and I have some tables where this is provided. But before we go, let us elaborate on what kind of a things, what kind of a variables in a query can be selected and changed to affect effectiveness. What is it that you can change? Well, I have six variables listed here. The first one is logic. Well, you can change the choice of connectors among terms, and, or, not, with, and so forth. The second variable is scope. And scope, by scope, I mean you can change the number of terms linked with ANDs. You can have A and B versus A and B and C. The third variable is the exhaustivity. For each concept, you can change the number of related terms, ORs. You can have A or B versus A or B or C. The fourth variable is term specificity. For each concept level in hierarchy, you can use broader terms versus narrower terms. You can use dogs as a narrow terms or domestic animals as a broader terms. Searchable fields. You can have you vary the choice of text terms and non-text attributes. For instance, you can specify to appear in titles only, a limit as to the years, various sources and so forth. We already experimented with those. And the sixth and last one that I have here is that the variable is a file or system specific capabilities. You can use the capabilities that the system offers you, such as given fields, ranking, sorting, linking, and so forth. Here is a table that lists the actions and consequences. The left column is about actions. The red column is about consequences. I'll read these, but I recommend to you that you kind of print this out and figure it out on your own and some length. Okay, variation in scope. which means adding more ants. What happens when you have digital and libraries versus digital and libraries and replicas? The output size is down, the recall is down, the precision is up. Take the red Venn diagrams and you will see that. Exhaustivity, when you add more ORs, digital OR libraries or replicas, the output size is up, the recall is up, and the precision is down. Use of knots, if you add more knots, digital and libraries, not replicas, the output size is down, the recall is down, the precision is up. When you use broad terms, domestic animals instead of dogs, the output size is up, the recall is up, the precision is down. When you start using phrases, in other words, high specificity, the output size is down, the recall is down, the precision is up. So, what to do? These laws that I mentioned lead to precision and recall devices. This is what it's called in the trade. They are precision and recall devices. Devices that will increase precision or decrease the precision, and devices that will increase recall. So let's see, what does increase precision mean? To increase precision, we increase the scope, we add more ants, you restrict. To increase precision, you add more knots, you eliminate. To increase precision, you use more phrases, you become more specific. Then, to increase recall, you increase exhaustivity, you add more ORs, you enlarge. You use broad terms, you broaden terms. To increase recall, you use more truncations, you use grammatical variants of terms. These are some of the measures, some of the precision and recall devices, they're by no means all. And the next slide will try, and the last slide in this particular tactics explanations will try to summarize all this. And the whole point is that this particular table that has on one column all the stuff that you can do to narrow and narrowing the search and getting higher precision on one hand, or broadening the search and higher recall, will become the second nature of searching. Professional searchers have these things built in their searching DNA. They do it like bicycle driving. Once you learn how to drive it, you never think about driving the bicycle, but you know what to do. So let's talk about higher precision. What are the devices? More ants, fewer ORs, more knots. For higher precision, you use less free text. In other words, more controlled text. You use less synonyms. You use narrower terms. You use more specific terms. You use less truncation. You use more qualifiers, more limits. And you use the tactics that we'll talk about in the next lecture of building blocks. Well, on the other hand, for higher recall, to broadening the search, you use fewer ants, more ORs, fewer knots, you definitely use more free text, you use fewer control terms, more synonyms, more broader terms, less specific terms, more truncation, fewer qualifiers, fewer limits, and you use a tactics called citation growing. These look, when you look at it as just simple lists, but as I pointed out, when you will be varying your tactics, they will be becoming a second nature to you. I have already mentioned citation going and building blocks, so let me at least try to explain them in one slide, but we'll be using this more in the lecture on advanced searching. Citation going basically refers that you find a relevant document, you look for documents cited in that document, or look for documents that are citing it, and then you repeat the search on these new found relevant documents. In building blocks, you find documents with term A, you review, you add term B, you review, you add term C, and so forth. And using different feedbacks, and we'll get to that next, is a very, very important tool. So let's get to the last part of the lecture, and that's about feedback and feedback types. And about method of searching, which is called berry picking. Again, look at this picture by Escher. It's kind of neat. Feedback in searching is extremely important. As a matter of fact, there is no such thing as searching without feedback, and it's used always consciously and unconsciously. So let me define it, what I mean. Formally, feedback is the process in which part of the output of a system is returned to its input in order to regulate its further input. The air conditioning control is an example of a feedback. When it gets too hot, the output is returned, it turns on the air conditioning. When it gets too cold, the output is returned to stop the air conditioning, and so forth. In terms of searching, simply put, you search, you find something that may be relevant, then look at it, then on the basis of, oh, aha, when you see something in that article or number of articles, you change your next query or tactic to get better or more stuff. In searching, as in any place else, any feedback implies loops. A completion of a process provides information for modification, if any, for the next process. In other words, information from output is used to change previous or create new input. In searching, some information taken from output of a search is used to do something with the next query. It is, you examine what you got, decide what to do next. And it's a basic tactic in searching. But there is not only one feedback type. There are several feedback types that are used in searching, and I'll enumerate here five of them. One, and quite often used, is content relevance feedback. You judge the relevance of all or most items you achieve, and you make a decision what to do next. Sometimes this decision will be that you switch files, you start searching another set of files, that you may change exhaustivity and so forth. This is often directly used, it's term relevance feedback. You find the relevant document or documents, you examine what other terms are used in those documents, and then you do searching using these additional terms. This is sometimes called query modification, and in a number of systems, this query modification is now done automatically. In other words, you identify a relevant document, and the system will generate additional terms on the basis of these documents. Most of these systems are experimental, yet you won't find it that often in practice. Then there is magnitude feedback. You retrieve a large output and you don't even look at it because you say, I retrieved 10,000 documents, let me change something. The size is so big that you are not even examining the document, but do the next search to do to limit the size. Then there is tactical review feedback. After a number of queries, such statements, in the same search, review the tactics as to getting desired output. You review the terms, you review the logic, you review the limits. So then you change tactics accordingly. And then there is the big strategic review feedback. After a while, or after consultation with users, you review the big picture on what searches, what searched, and how it searched, the sources, the terms, the relevant documents, the need satisfaction, changes in question, in query, and then to do the next searches accordingly. And this is very often used in iterative searching. And when you search for your user in your project, you'll definitely, after a while, retrieve something, give it to the user, and go with the interview about this strategic feedbacks. But then, there are other ways to look at searching where many of these things that I talked about are combined. And so with the end of this lecture, we'll look at one way which looks at the search as a process of complex wandering. And in this way of looking at is shifting exploration and feedbacks are implied. As a matter of fact, not implied, they are described. Marcia Bates, a while ago, wrote a famous article about berry-picking model of searching. What she elucidated, what every searcher knows, that the search is not going on straightforward linearly, but is moving through many actions toward the general goal of satisfactory completion of research related to information need. In other words, what she is saying is, she was saying, this is happening in real life. Query is shifting continually. As search progresses, queries are changing. You see something, on the basis of that, you change it, and you use different tactics for the next query. So a searcher or user may move through a variety of sources, new files, new resources may be used. Come on, did you do a really serious search? Think of it the last time you did it. Isn't this exactly what you were doing? So, berry picking is closer to the real behavior of information searches. New information may provide new ideas, new directions. And the feedback, the kind that I talked about, is used in a variety of ways. Question is rarely satisfied or not satisfied at all by a single set of answers, but by a series of selections and bits of information found along the way. Results may vary and may have to be provided in appropriate ways or means. You go through searching like berry picking in a field. And probably this is what you are going, not probably, for sure, this is what you are going to do with the user for your TIM project. And here is a picture taken out of that article, and she depicts berry picking as going through a number of paths, going with a path, like if you go through a field, it's kind of crooked, waving this and that way. And this is what Marcia says. The nature of the query is an evolving one, rather than a single and changing. And two, the nature of the search process is such that it follows a berry-picking pattern instead of leading to a single best retrieve set. And examine the changes in query through this berry-picking path and the different type of documents that are produced at the end. Okay, conclusions. The search tactics have to be mastered. You as a professional is the one that has to master these tactics, and as I mentioned several times, they have to become a DNA of your professional searches. As a matter of fact, users are not concerned about searching at all. They're concerned about finding. They don't care about your tactics. They care about finding stuff. But effective searching is a prerequisite for finding the right stuff. And search tactics are critical for effective searching. They need to be understood and followed. So here is what you have to know. If you do X, you have to know that what you expect will be Y. In order to get Y, you have to know what X to do. Well, thank you, MC Escher. And thank you for listening, and happy tacticking. Bye.